evening, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello.
This is Aiden Frank.
This is Sean Graff.
We're here with the Purple Hour.
And Alexa got his first phone call of the radio show.
15 that'll probably come through.
We got a lot of people in the room, and it's really hot. We've got, first of all, we got Alexi Shudo. He was our special guest last week, and he said, I'm going to come so you'll stop asking me, but he really enjoyed it, so he's back.
Sure, I love you guys a lot.
And we've got Dustin Beach. He's Alexi's boyfriend.
Loosely.
Yeah.
Nice one.
And we've got Dustin's beautiful girlfriend, Coley. What's your last name?
Nelson.
Coley Nelson. And we've got, best of all, my father, Eric, Toy God Frank.
Hey! Yeah! Say hello.
Thank you.
That was the Toy God himself.
So, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. My dad just got back from Toy Fair 2014 in New York. How was that?
Toy Fair is fun. It's a lot of work. You know, it's basically for buyers, but they have a small press contingent, which I've been doing it for about 20 years. So I get to see a lot of people I know, a lot of cool toys that are coming out for 2014. A lot of strange stuff.
What's the strangest thing you've seen while you were there?
Some really strange looking dolls for little girls.
Do people dress up for Toy Fair?
No, this is a professional thing. This is not like the San Diego Comic-Con. No, this is for business people. You know, buyers from all over the country, all over the world go there to buy their toys for the year.
So these are all toys in Toys R Us. Like not other toys, like
it's across a yeah.
Like mature toys.
This is stuff where you'll find it at Walmart, Kmart, Toys R Us, you know, but there's also a collector contingent where, you know, they have specialized motorized skateboards, you know, cool bicycles.
What's the highest priced toy that's coming out?
The one I saw was probably a $800 electric skateboard.
That's awesome. How fast does it go?
Up to 20 miles an hour and up to 9 miles.
I could ride on Usain Bolt's back and go faster.
You could go 180 miles,
according to my calculations. Dustin just almost graduated college. Good job.
Actually, I don't think that's right.
No, I've been doing it for 20 years, so for me, it's more like going to see my friends. You know, you see some really cool stuff. You know, passion for toys is something that is hard to hide, and there's a lot of companies out there that try to fake it.
Expand on that.
It's like anything else. If you really like something, you're going to do a good job. Small companies try really, really hard, and big companies like Hasbro have it relatively easy because of the size and amount of money they have. But then you've got medium-sized companies. I won't mention one of them because I don't want to get in trouble. You know, the passion's not there. They're just trying to pass the toys off and charge as much money as they can for it. And eventually, you know, the buyer sort of gets to know what that is. You know, there's strange stuff out there. Living dead dolls. You know, companies like NECA, which has a lot of licenses for movies like Predator, Alien, stuff like that.
So these are like the big busts and stuff of the movie characters.
No, these are more high-end action figures, you know.
Okay, so they have articulation in them.
Yeah.
This is all very important information when it comes to toys.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, you're...
What's your question, Sean?
Which mic should I use?
Use that one because it's so
you probably don't know this. Do you know like only the American companies, like none of the other foreign-based companies?
No, there's foreign-based companies out there now. There's a company called 3A, which is run by a guy who's a famous illustrator who finally decided to make his own toys. But that's it. He makes his own toys, his own vision. You know, there's a company called Enterbay. They've made Bruce Lee. They've made RoboCop. They do a lot of basketball players. You know, great sculpts. But, you know, you're looking at like $200 or $300 a figure.
Okay. Who's responsible whenever I go to Chinatown for like Super Rangers and Stealth Turtles, like the knockoffs of Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles?
Gotta remember that the most of the American companies do not own their own factories. They're renting the space. So if somebody comes up with a good idea and it's after hours, there's really nothing the Americans can do about them taking the molds and making knockoffs and then selling them.
But these are not big companies. These are just small companies.
Not necessarily.
I mean like Mattel. Like, what's the biggest, like, what's the major company that makes all the, like, Star Wars action figures that come out, like, every week?
Well, Hasbro. But I don't believe Hasbro owns their factories in China. Most people don't.
So the people that are making Hasbro's toys are most likely making all the other ones that they sell around the corner.
Some of them do. You know, but it takes a lot of money to make a toy. It's not like, you know, the big thing now is artists who are making their own toys in their own garage. It's a cool industry. You know, you come up with a cool figure, you make a mold, you pour the resin, you paint it. You can make 10 or 20 of them, and some of these guys, you know, charge big money. The stuff he's talking about has to be made in a steel mold. So somewhere along the line, someone had to have a lot of money in order to make that type of figure.
Wow. So let's go back almost 20 years, because I was a baby. How did you get into collecting toys? Because growing up, for me, it was the coolest thing ever, because I had free toys every week.
Yeah, I've got toys all over the house and my garage, storage units. How I got into it. Basically, it was through charity work. My wife, Sari, is heavily involved with a local children's clinic, and they are looking for people to be able to donate toys. I just happen to be very good at asking for free stuff. I am the king of free. And so I'd call companies up, and they would just, you know, send me truckloads of toys for the kiddies.
Yeah, truckloads, no exaggeration. It was packages three times a day.
That's a great name for a charity. Truckloads of toys for the kiddies.
Kids liked it.
Yeah.
No, I asked the company. There was a company.
It's a good tax write-off,
too. I can't remember the name of the company anymore, but it happened to be one of my father-in-law's friend's daughters, and she worked there, and I called her up, and I told her what I was doing. I got a call, like, the next day that this huge 16-footer pulled up to the door with just pallets of toys, which was really cool. You know, I never expected that.
Pallets of toys.
Yeah, pallets. I mean, I'm talking like a 16-foot truck packed from front to back. That's
and,
a lot.
And that's like your dream come true.
Well, it was
one,
fun.
One of the dreams.
Yeah, it was a good score. True. I liked it. You know, there is a big plush company in the valley that was closing, and I called the guy up and I told him what I wanted, and I did like somewhere around 5 or 6 trips with a minivan, and I had like some of the weirdest stuff, you know, but it was all free and it was for the kids. I figure, you know, I get 5 minutes before the devil comes to take my soul, and, you know, he'll add it up and go, hey, you know, go blow a joint. I'll give you enough time to do that before I come and yank it out. Oh, wow.
God. I told you, we get into the drugs too.
Yeah.
But so you also, because you also do a, what's the website you write for?
Action Figure Times, www.aftimes.com.
And your authorship is Toy God on there?
Yes.
With 2 D's, so we're not getting into,
okay, Toy God.
Copyrights of Jesus and stuff. God did it.
God did. 2 D's.
Yeah. And you recently were published in the Huffington Post as well for your writings.
Yeah, it just so happens my niece is an editor there, and she'd moved back to Los Angeles, and I told her about the toy shows that I go to. And since she didn't know anything about the toys, and I did, she said, why don't you go and cover them for the Post? So if you actually read the Huffington Post, you can search me under Eric Frank, and I've got 6-7 articles so far.
So the articles you do for the Post are not about action figures.
No,
these are more art shows.
There's a store down on Melrose Avenue called the Toy Art Gallery Tag, and they have a space in the front of their store, so artists go there and they have their own like shows and exhibitions, and I shoot those for them.
Cool.
So is that kind of like your Kent Clark job as opposed to your Toy God Superman?
You know, people know me as Toy God. You know, I mean, it's a moniker that stuck over the years. I've been doing it for 20 years.
When I was growing up, my dad always told me, I'm famous in my little corner of the world. So I'd go to school and be like, guys, my dad's famous. He collects toys. And No one ever really looked at the at AF Times, but it was cool to say my dad was a little famous for collecting toys.
Yeah, I'm still sort of famous in my own geeky corner of the universe.
He's just the guy that's good at getting free shit.
I can go to toy shows and, you know, guys at Mattel, Hasbro, you know, McFarlane. I met Todd McFarlane. Now, you guys don't know who he is. You might, the only, no, wrong family. This is the guy that
it's just Seth.
This is the guy that bought all the expensive baseballs. But he also wrote Spider-Man and he worked for Marvel. Then he wrote Spawn.
Whoa.
And he made his own toys. He actually changed the toy industry as it is today because he was writing his own comic book and he wanted to make toys. So he went to the big toy companies and the toy companies said, you sell us the license, we'll give you money and you go away. And he said, no, I want input. You know, this is my baby. I want to tell you how to make the toys. They said, it doesn't work that way. And he was already a millionaire at this point, so when they said, told him, no, it doesn't work that way, he went off and made his own toys. And so the toy industry changed on a dime with him over the years, only because people would say, well, I have an idea. And they would make like two or three figures. You know, line doesn't survive on two or three figures. This guy made year after year after year of toys. But, you know, Toy Fair changed a little because it used to be in like two or three separate buildings on Fifth Avenue and you'd go up and down these old elevators all day long doing, having appointments with people, which was cool. We had a good time. I, you know, got lots of free crap. And we visited Todd McFarlane's showroom. Now, it just so happened that when he put out Spawn, I had a custom one-of-a-kind jacket made by the guys in Burbank who do the movie studio jackets. And it had the logo for Image, which was their new comic book company. And what was really cool was we were standing there, and all of a sudden this like hand comes down on my shoulder, and this voice says in my ear, hey, where'd you get the jacket? You know, and I turned over my, looked over my shoulder, and I said, oh, hi, Todd, how's it going? He goes, where'd you get the jacket? I said, I had it made.
He's like, I want it.
And he goes, I thought it was a custom, because otherwise I'd have one. And I said, you want a trade? So what do you want? I said, I want that two-up over there. Now, a two-up is twice as big as something you buy in a store. It's like a prototype. And he just laughed at me and walked away because it was easily worth like $25,000, $50,000. You know, but you meet people like that. You know, and after a while, they got to know who I was. They liked what I did. They knew I was honest. You know, some people have learned the dark side of my personality, but that's just their fault now.
Yeah, you kill people for a living, right?
That was... Well, not figuratively, but...
Back then, you wouldn't just like up, and you would just...
Still 2 days, though.
Yeah, gutted it.
Well, cool. Yeah, I went to Toy Fair with my dad a couple of years ago, and it's just a lot of walking. It was... I got a couple free things, but it was cool.
Yeah, it's just booth after booth after booth.
And do Comic-Con and Toy Fair intertwine at all somewhere?
Comic-Con became Toy Fair West summertime. You know, it was due to influence from guys like me who told the toy companies, you need to go to Comic-Con. Because years ago, when I first started going, it was just about comic books. And you'd go there and, you know, you could just walk up to the window and get a ticket and walk around and, you know, check out the artwork and meet artists and buy comic books and stuff like that. And then it was because of the burgeoning toy industry and what we were telling companies said, you have to get a booth there. You know, this is the coolest place to be because if you're looking for impulse buying, this is heaven. This is just 4 days of comic book geeks with just tons of dough. They want to park it somewhere. Now, Comic-Con isn't what it used to be. It's a huge business. San Diego lies to you people. You're never going to expand that convention center, no matter what they say.
It's on the news every year.
Scumbags.
Oh, my God.
But,
get it all out.
Yeah, tell me the dark side.
But Comic-Con's its own little, you know, Comic-Con is now mainstream. That's where the movie companies go to release their movies and, you know, The Big Bang Theory and lots of TV shows and stuff go there. So it's more mainstream than it used to be.
That's pretty, yeah, because I see a lot of interviews from Comic-Con with movie stars and nothing that has anything to do with comics at all.
Right.
There's just like random movies, like dramas that are released at Comic-Con. It's really strange.
Well, they're trying to get a buzz going. You know,
yeah.
They want to see if they can...
Well, because it's like the Coachella of just like consumerism.
You know, I mean, Iron Man,
that's true.
King Kong,
Sharknado,
you know, Batman, all that. You know, they all started there.
Do you ever see the Sex Expo and then Toy Fair kind of combining and joining forces?
Can't do it. You can't do it only because one is professional and one isn't. You know, one's for just people and the other one is for, got to remember, Toy Fair is basically for the buyer. You know, for the guy who's running, you know, I sat, had lunch with a woman who had 20 stores. So she was looking for specific stuff for girls. But this is the one time of year she can go, comes into town, gets a hotel at a discounted rate, and then she walks the show and she says, okay, I'll commit $20,000 to your product. You know, this is when I want it. And this is the one time of year for those people, you know, they budget all year long to go to that thing.
So there aren't any adult toys at Toy Fair?
No.
Damn.
Not at all. Not the type of adult toys you want.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Do you usually deal with toys and purchase toys that you know a backstory to or that just aesthetically please you, that look cool and interesting?
Yeah, I used to collect Star Wars up until a point where you suddenly realize one day that unless you have a 10,000 square foot house and empty walls, that you're just no way to be able to display everything.
Right.
I mean, if
his old friends had a really cool, just a room in his house. I went there once.
Like a wine cellar for
action. Pretty much, yeah. With platforms with lights under them and like really cool if you just have the money to just let plastic sit around in your house. But like,
it's not so much even the money, it's the room. I mean, over the years, I've been given statues, 12-inch figures, action figures, plush, artwork. You know, I would literally need a museum if I could get everything I ever owned again, put it in one room. People would just say, oh my God. You know, and you buy stuff on impulse. You know, I've got cases of Simpsons figures and Muppets figures by companies, which are really cool, and I felt, God, I had to have those.
Would you do that if you could? Would you make, like, a Toy God Louvre of all the things you have?
Sure, if I made, you know, if I hit the lottery for $400 million.
Yeah, if you could.
You know, my wife would think, you know, my wife would look at me and say, you want to do what with who? You know? I mean, there's a guy who used who's still part of our website, but he has his own business and doesn't have a lot of time, but he's the largest Batman collector on the planet. This guy has a separate house for his collection. He doesn't live there.
He shouldn't. That'd be cool if he met Christian Bale.
What?
That'd be cool if he met Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan.
Christian Bale's at the house.
Yeah.
He owns Christian. Like,
yeah, he's in
he has a contract
case
that he has to sit in feeds for 12 hours a day. Cool. That's awesome. Well, do we have a song or something we want to play and take a little break?
Well, you're a huge Grateful Dead fan. That's why we played that original
song
for you.
That song was called The Wait. It's actually not a Grateful Dead song. It's by the band. Oh. So it was a cover. Well, it was by a band called The Band. It was a cover from the 1990s.
Hell in a Bucket is on there.
All right, we'll play Hell in a Bucket.
Hell in a Bucket with Bob Weir. In fact, Rat Dog and Bob Weir just played in Boston the other day. I'm so
Rat
jealous.
Dog?
Rat Dog. Oh. Rat Dog.
No, this band hates rap music.
Yeah,
this year's the 50th year of the anniversary of the Grateful Dead. I expect a huge summer tour here in Southern California.
We went to the last further show at the Greek, which is the remaining members.
We were just there.
What did you go see?
Well, no, we were just near the Greek this evening.
Oh, whatever.
And for all you people out there who've never listened to Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead, rush out and buy them.
A lot of stuff. There's
anything,
too much to list.
Anything that's live and just sit there and listen to it. You'll learn something about music.
Did you guys see Mars?
You had to be tripping on acid, though, to understand anything that they're saying.
Yeah, do you have any cool acid stories?
Only once.
Only once. Once after that, you've got the insight.
Just 10 easy dollars. But yeah, you guys went to the observatory. Did you see space?
Yeah, all of it. Yeah, it was crazy.
All of it, really?
I had a really, really strong pair of binoculars. And yeah, it was great. It was very fun. It was about 12 degrees, so we were a little cold. But it was all good.
Dustin's girlfriend is looking at him with
confusion. I feel like there's always a planet out and that I can never see it. Did you see the planet? There's always like some beautiful photo on the internet that everyone's talking about. All the girls on my Facebook feed are like, "Joe, the Saturn was behind the moon, so beautiful and perfect."
So the two girls on your Facebook
are
asking.
Frustration.
Okay. I own half the show, okay? I can get you half kicked out. I can put up a vote right now. I bet. Yeah.
Wait, Colin, what's your favorite part of the Griffith Observatory? There needs to be a girl's perspective. In
yeah, that's a good question. Wait, take this mic. This is closer.
We don't get a lot of women on the show, so this is a.
The ones that do come on refuse to speak.
But Sean's on every week.
He owns half the show. I'd really be careful.
Aiden, can I throw a vote in right now to see if we can get these hooligans kicked off?
Wait, what do you want to know?
Tell us your deepest, darkest secret.
Don't tell us that. Oh, it's the Howard Stern show.
Where are you from? What do you do?
So I am from Chicago.
What city specifically?
Well, I'm from Coal City, but I don't tell people that because then it's awkward. Like, my name's Coley, I'm from Coal City. And then they ask if I'm named after my town. It's like this big thing.
Do you ever use a different name?
Well, it's short for Nicole, but my people think because my dad's the mayor that he named me after the city.
Wait, back up.
True.
You just said your dad's the mayor.
Yeah, hold on. You have a dad that's a mayor?
I do have a dad, and he is the mayor.
Is he a cartoon character with a big white hat?
Yes. No, yeah, he's the mayor of Coal City, so he just...
What does his responsibility entail? Because I've never heard of Coal City.
Not many people have.
How many people?
Okay, we're looking at a population of about 5,000.
How many stoplights are in the town?
Big or small?
Two.
Two stoplights.
Yeah, okay. One was recently installed, so it's really big news.
The only town I've been to like that had a fair amount of Amish people. It was in Colorado.
No Amish people in Coal City. We have a McDonald's.
Nice.
A McDonald's.
And...
Drive-through pizza?
There is. There's like two pizza places.
It's a Pizza Hut, Taco Bell combo.
That's one town over. It's really interesting. It's
one
like,
town over is the Taco Bell. This is entertaining.
It goes Carbon Hill and then Coal City and then Diamond are like the names of the town. I'm like an hour south of the city. Okay. I mean, obviously, I say I'm from Chicago because no one knows Coal City, so.
You should start repping it. Just be passionate.
For real.
No, don't.
Tell them you're from Springfield, Massachusetts, and they go, "Where's that?" It's like on the other side of Worcester, and it's just like,
oh, yeah, "Where's Worcester?"
Worcester's great. Worcester line is like the whole other half of the state there.
I was gonna say, Sean spent some time in Connecticut. Where do you spend time in Connecticut?
In Richfield, Connecticut. And when I moved there from here, a lot of my friends asked me if I was going to grow corn. And there's no corn.
There's no corn in Connecticut.
No, it's not. There's no farming.
They asked if you want to be a crack whore.
No, to grow corn, Alexi.
Oh,
grow corn. Yes.
We know where you're headed. Yeah.
I don't doubt it.
What do you do for a living? What's your function? What's your purpose in life?
Oh, wow, we're getting deep. Well, what I do for a living.
Ayo.
Is I am a leadership consultant for sorority women across the
what
United
sorority?
States.
Just blast it out.
FIMU. We are founded in Macon, Georgia in 1852.
Yeah, this is officially like the Greek radio show.
It is. Yeah, so my job is to travel all over the country and just live at universities to help start new chapters of our organization.
That seems like a blast if you're
so
in the
So you
college.
Are a spore bacteria. For a sorority.
You could say that, yeah. Well, last year I was living...
There's no defense to sororities. I just mean, it sounds like a virus spreading.
I mean, I guess...
In a good way.
Of course. It's like a really good day.
It's just an easy metaphor connecting it to how fungus reproduce. It's easy. It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. It's just easy. It was there. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
What's the craziest thing you've seen while working with these chapters across the country?
Oh, wow. How do I choose? I mean, they're all great women, so it's a wonderful job
all of them?
To work
nice.
With them.
That was a good statement.
100% of them?
Yes.
Wow.
She will be fired if she said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, my boss
well, while
is
we're on the Greek,
right now.
While we're on the Greek subject, let's get your guys' shit out of your system.
I don't know what that means. We actually just got back from a fraternity conference
In Vegas.
Ironically enough, in Vegas.
Yeah, in Vegas, the worst place to hold 300 fraternity brothers in the same place. It was good. I think the alcohol consumption, I think we nailed it.
We helped out the city of Las Vegas a lot that night.
There's no debt anymore. big things happening in the Greek world.
A lot of big things, especially our organization. Yes. We won't go
why did yet. You guys feel the need to meet?
It's an annual leadership school, so it's called the Western States Leadership School. As you can see, Alexi had a sweater on earlier, took it off, it's a little warm.
What do you guys
do? So it's just a regional conference, I guess you would say, that you facilitate leadership discussions. So, you know, you're having issues with your chapter, you're having issues with the guys in the fraternity or your university administrators or whatever it may be, your community, your housing board, and you just go and talk it out, and then the older alums and faculty members kind of speak on ways that you can improve that, your programming or the chapter management or whatever that is, to improve your house and to kind of get it back to the congruency that the national headquarters likes to see. So there were guys that were, you know, talking about hazing. There were guys that were talking about finance issues, those sort of things. So you have older, experienced members that simply give back their time, that are not there to get paid. We weren't there to get paid, but
you got some sweet jackets.
It was a chance to go to Vegas.
It was a chance to go to Vegas, which was cool, and it was a chance to be part of, you know, even the smallest chunk of someone's fraternity life or someone's history or the fraternity's history, which was really cool. We're really the only big regional leadership school in the area, or in the country rather, that does that sort of thing, and the national headquarters helps.
I get the fraternity thing, although I was never part of one. The hazing thing is what mystifies me, because quite frankly, there's no way that anybody's going to physically beat me just so I can be part of a club.
I went
to Northeastern University, and I used to walk.
This was back when Northeastern's a prestigious school. Now it wasn't back when you went.
Well, it was sort of
not
like
so
a slum.
Much.
But that being said, you know, you'd be walking across the quad and you'd see these guys get stopped and they had to have a pack of gum in one in the right pocket and, you know, lifesavers in another. And it's just like, if they didn't have it, they had to like drop and give them 20 and embarrass the crap out of themselves. So I'm saying, no, that's not going to happen.
Well, this was in 1902, right? When you went to college?
Yeah, before fire.
Yeah.
So I'm glad.
But my people who came to this planet didn't need, like, you know, we had night vision.
Like Anunnaki.
We'll be taking over your planet shortly, and your fraternities are going. Believe me.
The hazing thing's actually, I mean, it's always a hot topic wherever we go, any conference that we're at. Everybody always wants to talk about it, and everyone has a negative connotation because it's a bad thing. Ideally, like going back to the origins, hazing started in the military, and they know how to do it right. They know how to build respect. They know how to build brotherhood. I don't necessarily agree with it, but they break you down to build you up. Fraternities, we don't do that. It's like, you know, some fraternities, you know, shove a tube up your ass and force alcohol down it. Like,
that was my
favorite
part of playing.
That's wrong. That's just,
well, the military
inhumane.
Thing, though, in order to be a cohesive unit and know that the guy next to you is going to be doing his job, you need to break him down to build him back up to be a soldier. But,
right.
You know,
for me,
being part of a club, and again, I get it, you know, you're older, you're looking for a job, or, you know, you want to be part of something bigger, being a fraternity or a sorority member is a great thing. I get that. I just don't get, you know, to being part of a club and having someone say, well, you have to make an asshole out of yourself because that happened to me and that happened to him and that happened to him.
Right.
You know, I was part of a fraternity in college. It was called Dope Smokers of America. And we had a very good time without beating the crap out of
Delta Sigma Alpha. Delta Sigma Alpha. I remember them. They were
great. Those are good guys. Yeah. They don't remember much.
No, about the most violent thing my friends ever did was empty out my refrigerator, which was fine by me.
That's wrong, man.
I mean, you know, I have friends coming up to me like, why are you paying for friendship? And then I realize there's 60 guys paying for my friendship, and that's the most important part.
No, I think fraternities
justifies means very
I
well.
Think fraternities have a great place. I'm just, you know, you bring up the hazing thing and it's like, right. I just don't get it.
I feel like a lot of people want to join fraternities so they can haze other people too. Yeah. Like a lot of they're so willing to go through that hazing just so for the next like 3 years they can just beat the shit out of other kids. Right. And with their brothers come together behind all of that ignorance and misplaced hatred,
right?
And just force kids to chug milk. It sounds fun, honestly. I would love to make a kid chug
it's
milk.
It's the
and
chip
watch
on
barf.
The shoulder.
Milk
you know what I mean?
It helps build bones.
You had it.
That's what you just yell at them. You had build it. Your bones.
Hang on. Sororities, do they have hazing?
No, not Phi Mu, because Phi Mu's the best.
Alexi stole my answer, but I don't think that it's as prevalent in sororities, I would say, honestly.
Or is it just not as reported in sororities? Or you just do it smarter? Not you, as in your national organization, your chapter, women in general.
I mean, probably both, honestly. And I don't think it's as, like, physical hazing, I would say.
It's probably more mental, right? Like, I've heard of really, like, horrific stories of...
It's always mental with you guys.
It's always amazing.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not as physical and doing, like, crazy things. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, elephant walks, that's good.
This is no... This is not to be... This is just my research. Sigma Alpha Epsilon was recently... I don't even know if it's recent, but you guys were rated, like, the most dangerous fraternity. I think that's pretty fucking cool.
What do you guys think? why are you so dangerous?
Have you heard Highway to the Danger Zone?
Highway to the Danger Zone.
No, the other one.
That's close.
We've had some unfortunate mishaps with brothers across the country where their hazing has gotten too far. The chapter has been cited on many occasions to say, like, hey, stop doing this. And they haven't listened to policy, and the headquarters is there to help and support in any way that they can, and they go against policy. And we all know, like, especially in California, hazing is a strict law. They have specific regulations and codes on what is hazing and what's not, and people simply don't know those. Or if they do, they don't decide to follow them, and that's where you're getting a lot of trouble. We have policies that are in place that takes the liability off of us, but it's tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When your insurance premium is, you know, like $8 million a year or whatever we pay, yeah. It's just wild. I mean,
if you see somebody breaking the rules, do you guys jump in and say no?
There are chapters. On our chapter, we most certainly did, because we got brought back after our chapter in the early 2000s was hazing and got kicked off campus for 5 years. They kind of let all those cancers graduate and get out, and then they brought us back and they said, if you guys haze, you will be gone and you will never come back to this campus. We kind of, that was a lot of weight on our shoulders, so we didn't have to go through any of that stuff. Alexi and I didn't have to. So that was nice, and then we didn't, you know, give that to anybody else down the line because we didn't get it. So it just made sense, and our brotherhood hasn't affected... It hasn't been affected by that negatively at all. But yeah, the rule is, if you see something, say something. I mean, there's a hazing hotline for our fraternity.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like
pretty awesome.
1-800-DON'T-HAZE.
Can I just say, you're a wonderful spokesman.
No.
You have a great way of making eye contact. You keep a very level tone of voice.
Good thing I'm on the radio. I'm looking at all of you right now.
I feel like you're almost like I'm selling my land to Monsanto or something. Or like, you're so good at it. I'm just like, okay. Okay, that sounds alright.
No, I'll take a bit.
Hazing sounds like okay thing.
No, that is not the message I'm trying to attempt here.
It's all very interesting, especially.
There's a whole other.
That was real. That was a lot of excitement in that.
Yeah, there's a whole other way in this conversation. And I think
genuinely, I like listening to it.
Right, it's interesting to kind of see that the old school. What's the old school fraternity movie? Animal House. And then you have, you know, the old school
and
the Revenge of the Nerds and those sort of things. And there's a whole element to the fraternity that Alexi and I were so fortunate to see was the leadership aspect, because when we came in, we were refounding fathers. Our name is on the official document that the chapter says, we're a chartered fraternity. This is it. And, you know, my name's on there and all before
which,
his name.
Which of the founding fathers are you guys?
I like to think
that. What does that even mean?
Like, you know,
the non-racist
Franklin,
ones. Like, no, I mean, like, are you Benjamin? Are you George Washington wasn't. John Hancock, he's got the nicest signature.
That would be Alexi, then. He made a signature last night that was just artwork.
My signature looks like a four-year-old. On crack.
Having so a talented four-year-old.
I actually did, to tell you the truth, I did get haze this weekend, not from the fraternity, but I went to this place called the Hofbrauhaus.
Hofbrauhaus.
So the Germans are at it again.
Yeah, and they're making stay in Vegas. And it's this whole...
I'm Sorry, I keep bringing
it. Beer fest, kind of Oktoberfest vibe, where there's picnic tables and a German band, and there's big goblets of beer, and there's music, and it's a lot of fun. And one of the things.
Did you drink a boot?
No, das Boot! Not this weekend, but they have this thing where if you take a shot, you get paddled. And obviously that sounded good to us at the time. We were already drunk.
So. I just wouldn't let them touch me.
Yeah. No.
So if you took a shot, you got paddled?
So you pay for a shot and then you get paddled. It was good. It felt right.
There's a lack of thought process somewhere.
What was this place called?
The Germans, they're not a perfect society yet.
Okay. Did you just read like masochist really wrong or something? Or?
I think it was Wendy's actually. I don't even remember.
Just I have a McFlurry. Yeah, just bend over, out. Pussy.
Big guy coming in. No, no, no.
McChicken sandwich.
I have a fillet of fish.
Oh, man.
But yes, it's very interesting, that whole different life. Because if you're not immersed in it, you don't really know about it.
No, yeah, I think it's one of those things that just has a huge stereotype.
It's like,
that
it's like Germans? The porn world. If you don't know much about Germans? That, you know what I mean? Like, you were talking to aspects of that, I was like blown away. I'm like, man, I didn't know that. I didn't know that there were like bids out there for toys and a whole convention and expo for that life. That was just really interesting.
Don't know if Germans are you saying right now? What are you comparing?
No, we're talking about German people? Just went back to fraternities.
Okay, I thought you were just being like, I just don't get Germans.
This is like the Star Trek conversation.
I was about to cut you off and be like, just fucking go to Germany. That would have been really confusing.
Stop being so naive and just go.
Just go. It's not that scary anymore. There's no big walls.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things that has a huge stereotype, and I think it's good to know that it's not just all like that. You know?
Right. I've been fortunate enough to go to many like Greek life conferences, like Association of Fraternal Values and Leadership, or Leadership and Values rather. And there's a guy there, Rick Barnes, and he's the national president for a fraternity called Farmhouse. They're so old they don't even have Greek letters. They just call it Farmhouse. And he Greek's speaks, pretty old. And his quote is. His quote is they're not stereotypes if they're true. Americans so unfortunately right yeah unfortunately they are true. They're not stereotypes when we're proliferating those and we're proliferating that total frat movement that we're just proliferating the stereotype. We always will be. It's the same thing with
but
racism.
I mean, the frats just got to keep on going. They got to own it, and I think they're doing a good job of owning being frat bros. I think frat bros need to make
have your support on this.
Frat bros need to make a turn to the non-ignorant, non-abusive.
Right. So what if we went to like how we were founded, and gentlemen that you saw something in someone else, and you said,
but then you're just gentlemen clubs.
What are we anyways besides a boys club? What are we if we're not a boys club that just sit around? You know what I mean? I would almost rather have us sit around and drink whiskey and smoke cigars than
that sounds awesome.
Do backflips off of balconies into pools.
That sounds also like fun.
Yeah, sounds
awesome. I mean, for both, actually.
Yeah, you're making a really hard case.
Yeah, you are. You should go to like the milk chugging. Like no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
Sibes and Lexi because he cares about his bones.
Build muscle.
Muscle. I love that advertisement when I was a little kid when the mom was like, or the kid was like, but my teacher says you need to drink milk or something. And then, oh no, the next door neighbor says, no, I stopped drinking milk. And the kid's like, oh, I guess I'll stop drinking milk too. And then he looks out the window and he sees his neighbor try to like lift up a wheelbarrow and his arms just fall off. And like sand starts pouring out of his shoulders and he's like, oh! And it's like funded
sand?
By... Yeah, it's like dust. It's like as if the old man's just decaying from the inside and just crumbling from within.
That's the scariest thing.
And I was, as a kid, I was just, if I was that little kid, I would just freak the fuck out. Like, if I knew that that man was even associated with milk, I would never touch it again.
Well, there's a recent...
Wheelbarrows would be off my list
that
forever.
That kid is
not
Lonnie Coleman.
He's 2,300 pounds. There was a recent like PSA commercial for like encouraging kids not to skip school. I think we might have talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
I showed you, didn't
and
I?
It's just like these kids run off on this like romantic, we're ditching school, you know, they go to the beach and everything, and then they just fucking explode. And it was like, then it pans over to the side, it's like minefield.
Really well
do not
done.
Enter. Like, yeah, skip school and you'll just blow
like
up.
It's really well done though. Like the girl, like you think it's gonna be like a trailer for a movie or something. The music looks like a ukulele, like Chloe Deschanel type stuff. Like, it's a sunny day, we're gonna go see butterflies and run in the rays. Or something like that, I don't know. But then the girl like topples on top of the guy and there's like waves rolling all over them. them and they're kissing and shit. And then she's like, come with me. And like, she's going behind a bush and the guy's like, oh, I'm gonna score. And then like a step further, her thigh just comes and whacks him in the face and she just explodes. And then he's like, oh God. And he explodes. And then the other couple's running away and the guy's like, you're slowing me down. He like pushes his girlfriend to the ground and then he just explodes. And then the girl just has blood raining on her and she's crying at the sky. And then it pans away from her like between the chain link fence. It's a pretty good shot. And then it comes out and that the sign's right there and it just says like line, like minefield. And then like it fades in like watercolor, like stay in school. And it just ends. It's not even like an advertisement like funded by blah blah blah. It's just stay in school.
So you're saying you run to the
bus. I wonder if it do you think it was a joke?
No more.
I would like to think that it was a serious thing.
It was really well done. It definitely took a lot of money, so it was for sure serious.
Cool.
It was Australian. European.
My middle school didn't have fences. Australians so are like, not Europeans. In Northridge, I don't think there's a minefield.
But Europe does a really good job of anti like drunk driving advertisements.
Europe?
Yeah, like all of the anti like drunk driving, like use a condom or like no smoking advertisements are really serious and like well done that I see.
Those PSAs usually are.
Yeah. They're funded well. We should take a turn to something fun, you know?
Yeah. Should we just play this song?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
I've had that queued up for a while.
With a biker, and I showed him a picture of you. I said, pal, did you know you'll like her? Seemed like the least I could do. When he's charging his chopper down the carpeted hall, you would think me find her transport proper. Never mind, I stumble and fall. Never mind, I stumble and fall. Should be the food for a taste of your elegant pride. Maybe going to hell in a bucket, but at least I'm enjoying the ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride. Somehow, baby, got hard as it gets. With your black lip, cool spice suspenders, your chair and your whip and your pets. But we know you're the reincarnation of the ravenous cat in the grave. And we know how you love your ovations in the sea red seas you create. Yeah, sea red seas you create. Champagne room, we're tasting with elegant pride. Maybe going to hell in a bucket bed. At least I'm enjoying the ride. At least I'm enjoying the ride. We'll be right back. circus. Cause if you just bought me your kind of zoo, I can't think of places more perfect for a person as perfect as you. And it's not like I'm leaving you lonely, cause I wouldn't know where to begin. But I know that you'll think of me only when the snakes come marching in. Yeah, when the snakes come marching in. You imagine me sipping champagne from your boot for a taste of your elegant pie. Put the hell in a bucket, baby. But at least I'm enjoying the ride. Just enjoy the ride. Ride, ride, ride. Just enjoy the ride. Ride, ride, ride. Just enjoy the ride. Ride, ride, ride. Just enjoy, enjoy the ride. Ride, 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 ride. Just enjoy the ride.
We were just talking about things we regretted from our lives. I believe Dust was about to enlighten us.
That was Hell in a Bucket by Grateful Dead also.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a big thing back in the day, we'll figure out how to work this microphone. A big thing back in the day was nursing majors would take the bags, the banana bags, and they would just, with the guys in the fraternities, they'd go to their parties. Banana bags like IVs.
Okay.
And they would bring them to the parties, and they were all nursing majors, so they'd all hook the guys up in their fraternity parties to IVs, just hang the bag around their neck. They could drink all night, wake up in the morning, no hangover. They could drink whatever they want as long as they're staying hydrated with an IV.
Overdose on alcohol so quickly from that.
No, the IV had water.
The IV had like a saline solution in it. So you just hydrate yourself all night. Because that's what the main, thing is. Because
Steve-O did that in an episode of Jackass.
Yeah, Steve-O, he's an interesting fella.
And he didn't make it through the hallway of the hospital. He didn't make it to the elevator. He, was walking and just slowly crumbled.
Yeah, that's just straight to the bloodstream.
I believe we have to wrap this up now.
We would go out for every shot and have, two glasses of water.
Right.
Pussy.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait till the morning. Liquor feels water, like a human being.
Right, exactly.
You sure?
Yeah.
You want to sponsor real quick? Blue Marble?
Yeah, Blue Marble.
What's Blue Marble? Blue Marble, check it out on Etsy or their official website. It's a cool glass company. Makes lots of stuff.
Repurposed glass. They make it into light fixtures and vases and
jewelry
and everything. It's very cool. Blue Marble, it's BLUMARBLE.com. Very cool.
I may have cut you off a little bit at the beginning again. You should say it again.
Yeah, Blue Marble, www.BLUMARBLE.com. Very cool stuff. Check it out.
I like how you spelled cool. Blue, but not marble.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Check out Action Figure Times.
This is Sean Graff. Bye.
Ian and Frank. Bye-bye.